whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
There's no doubt. I wrote down a list with Carter the other day. Carter, one of our young producers here, even though he's, you know, 7 feet tall, looks like he could play right tackle. Bonte, I wrote down just a ton of questions for the offseason. Certain players, you know, the coordinators, like, you know, a great example. Like, one of my top questions, what do you do with Nick Sorensen?
You fire him.
You would.
You move off from him.
That's what you
would
do.
You see anything creative?
No.
You see anything exotic?
No.
I mean, he's basically running Shanahan's scheme, and it's very vanilla. And when you want to run a vanilla scheme, you better have top-end talent. And the 49ers didn't have top-end talent on defense this season. So I want to move off from the scheme. I want to move off from the Y9. And look, I'm kind of with Willard when it comes to, like, hey, we're calling for people's jobs, and, you know, COVID made them rethink all that stuff. I understand that. But I got to move on. Like, this was worse than Steve Wilks.
Can I
Steve Wilks look like Bill Belichick.
Can I interrupt for just a second? He's not working on the job site making $86,000 a year. Nick Sorensen is making 7 digits. He'll be fine. All right? Like,
yeah,
you know what I worry
about?
I worry about the single individual with multiple children making like 75 grand a year.
Yeah, but here we missed the point, though. These guys got to uproot their family.
Okay.
They got to sell their house. You know how it is with kids. They don't want to leave their school. They develop friendships.
I'm not denying
that. It's tougher than you think. So that's why I want to be cool off like,
it's
hey.
Just, but I'm just saying, like, these people are going to be okay.
He's going to be fine, no doubt about it. Everybody's going to be okay. I think when a person is fired at a Costco job or something like that, you're going to be okay. It's going to be tough times ahead, but at the end of the day, you will be okay. Time will heal all wounds. That's for every business. But I there's a lot that goes into it. I don't want to call for his job, but I do think it's necessary to move on from Nick Sorensen. I do.
Okay, so if you were just to say, and I got I'm literally like 100 questions here. What's the number one question for you heading into the offseason? What's the number one question?
I don't have a number one question.
You don't have one?
I don't have a number one question, but I have questions.
So, like, okay.
My biggest question right now, because I'm not going to go the Purdy route in terms of money or whatnot. That's going to play itself out. I actually think the Purdy deal is going to be more team-friendly than people anticipate, and it's going to work out for everybody, all parties involved. I think Parag Bharate and company are going to do that, and I think Purdy will accept that. But what are you going to do in terms of moving on from some of the core? What's the big move you're going to make to reinvent yourself? Is it giving Kubiak the keys to the offense and letting him call plays? Is it moving on from Chris Kocurek? Is it moving on from Deebo Samuel? That's a big one around here.
Before we go to Deebo, I want to stick on Purdy for just a second. If just removing all money, he's playing for free next year, I say to you, right? Is that it? Like, we're just rolling with Purdy? Because I got a lot of questions on the shoulder and the elbow, like, to start with. And then secondarily, I got questions on the second half. Do I think he needs a better offensive line? Of course.
I think
he needs better weapons around him? Of course. That's every quarterback. But I still have some questions. I'm not saying I want to move off him. I think they need to do something behind him that's better, that pushes him in camp.
Kirk Cousins?
No. I'm out on Kirk. Completely out on him being a backup.
Justin Fields?
I don't really like Justin Fields, so I'm kind of out on that.
Jones?
What?
Mac Jones?
God, as much as I don't like that, that sounds like something they would do.
Because Sam Darnold wants a starting job. So
absolutely.
That's not happening.
And I don't think either Brandon Allen or Josh Dobbs are coming back.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't want that.
And I honestly don't think they're good enough to be your backup. As you've seen this year, Purdy missed 2 games, and they lost both those games.
All the Josh Dobbs talk finally got put to bed. Josh Dobbs was on 3 teams last season for a reason.
He's not that good.
It's a reason why he was on 3 different teams. All right?
I think they should still draft a guy, but the thing about drafting is it's such a roulette. I don't care where you pick, whether it's the 6th round or the 2nd round. It's just such a roulette. But I would draft another guy. I don't think it's Tanner Mordecai. I don't think the answer is freaking bringing in Kirk Cousins to push him. No, I don't like that.
I don't even know his status. But what about Davis Mills in Houston?
Actually, Davis Mills is an intriguing backup. He's a guy that I think can actually win you a game.
He's not bad.
If you're out 2, can he win 1? Yeah,
Davis Mills is not bad.
I don't hate that. And that's not going to rile people up but that's he started a lot of games.
Is Cooper Rush a free agent?
See, I'd be interested in Cooper Rush.
He may want to start.
Yeah, he's not a starter, though. But I hear you.
They want to start.
Josh Dobbs was frustrated. The beat reporters were talking to him, and I'm like, hey, Josh, I really like you.
The beat reporter said yesterday Josh Dobbs was frustrated?
Just leading up to the week, they're like, what do you think about coming back? It's like, I think I'm going to look around. It's like, where?
You've been looking around your whole career.
That's what I'm saying.
By the way,
accept your fate.
By the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and AC1, San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Let's play this for Brock. Says the bottom line is he wants to be in San Francisco.
More than anything, I want to be able to, be here for my guys in the locker room, be here to, I want to be in San Francisco and play my football career here, man. I love it here, and I want to do whatever it takes to be here. And so we'll see when we get there, when we sit down and start talking and stuff. But that's first and foremost, and then we'll go from there. But I'm not really sure what it all is going to look like and entail, but I know that I'm the guy for this organization and that I can do what it takes to help lead us where we want to go, and I'm confident in that. So we'll see.
I'm confident in that as well. Last one here. Asked if he's heard about the debate about his contract, because that's all people have been talking about during the season, before the season. We're going to talk about it after the season. Here's what Purdy said about that.
Obviously, just based off of how this year has gone, that's been conversations and the talking points and things like that. But, I mean, if you take a step back and realize what has been done the last couple of years, if we're talking about me and my story, being drafted last and then coming in and helping the team win and reach some pretty big heights, that's something that I can fall back and look on and be like, okay, that's what I've done. And obviously not just by myself. I've had a great supporting cast and everything, and I'm very thankful for that. This year was tough, but like I said, dude, I really do believe that this all happened and I can grow so much from it and continue to grow into the quarterback that I want to be. And, I just turned 25 years old. I feel like there's a lot of areas and improvement that I can have within my game that I know I can get to. And so I'm confident in that. So we'll see what happens. Everybody has their own opinion, and that's okay. But for me, I know who I am and what my purpose in life is and what I can do.
So Brock Purdy's only 24 years old. I do believe he could get better. I believe he could get better. Now, can his arm get stronger? We'll see. Can he become more accurate? I definitely think he can, and I think he has shown that he can be accurate. Everybody says, hey, man, he needs the Avengers. He needs everything to be perfect. Name me a quarterback who doesn't need a good offensive line. Name me a quarterback who doesn't need talent on the field. For crying out loud, Joe Montana needs talent on the field. And I'm not calling Brock Purdy that. But I definitely believe that you can win a lot of football games with Brock Purdy, a lot of high-level football games with Brock Purdy. And so do I want to see another quarterback in here to push him? I love to see Mac Jones. I'm not opposed to. I'm not opposed to Davis Mills. I'm not opposed to Cooper Rush. I'm not opposed to Justin Fields, for crying out loud. I thought Justin Fields got better with Pittsburgh this season when he did play. Bigger than the backup who could push Purdy, sure, why not? But I do believe Purdy can be the guy for this team moving forward.
So if I were to say to you, he's had the two seasons, right? And this year was a downer, and the year prior was near excellent. What's he more likely to replicate? The excellent season?
The excellent season.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
I just think it's so hard for all those things to go well.
Well, I do believe that he could replicate. Maybe it doesn't look like it did, that Super Bowl run, during that Super Bowl run, but I think this is an anomaly. Look at everything that's happened. In a way, it's kind of like when the Warriors had that situation with Draymond Green and Jordan Poole. It just kind of sits damn, it's just not right. Something just feels off. And they go on that 0-5 road trip, and they don't win a game. And you just thought, man, they're not winning road games. They don't seem connected or whatnot. This year with the Niners, and we should have saw this coming. Ray Rattle actually hit me up week 5 and goes, Bonte, this is done. They're not going to do it this year. And I was like, nah, come on, man. They're going to make a run at this. And I tried to believe it. And you know what? He was right. A lot of people are right. Everything that went on before the season, during the offseason, all the players, we've gone through it all. It was just a nightmare. It was a nightmare. I don't think this is the real Brock Purdy. I think Brock Purdy's the guy, more so the guy who did throw for over 4,000 yards. It was in the MVP running. Now, is he that good? Who knows? But I don't think he's this bad that he showed this season. I don't think he's that bad.
I mean, his year this year, if you look at the stats, just the stats, it's identical to the 2021 season for Jimmy G. touchdowns, interceptions, yep. yards per game, sacks. The only thing different was the win-loss record, and I think Jimmy's defense was better. He went 9-6 that year and played in 15 games. This year, Brock went 6-9, and he played in 15 games. And I think both guys hurt their shoulder. And I have nothing but just speculation. I don't think that he was 100% all year. I have way more red flags on Purdy than you do. I'm not ready to move off him. I'm not ready to say that he's done. I'm of the nature, and this is just how I operate. My Uncle Jeff, who's one of the smartest people I've ever met in my life, he was giving me financial advice back in the day. He said, Joe, you can make $1,000 mistakes till you're blue in the face. You will not go broke. Do you know when you go broke? When you make $100,000 mistakes over and over and over again. And I would say the same thing about quarterback. When you make $100 million mistakes at quarterback, that's when things go really awry. So I like Purdy. I'm just very reluctant, and they have to make sure that this is the right guy. Because if you make the wrong $100 million mistake, everybody's done.
I Dan Dibley said something yesterday during a crossover about Purdy's contract that was very, very interesting about the way they could structure the deal and how they could have a low base salary where it doesn't kill you and allow you to sign other players and give them the guarantee. And also, I don't believe you have to give them a five. We come out with a headline today, we see it, and news breaks it. Purdy signs 5 years, $200 million, and everybody's going to lose their minds. I do believe this front office is going to structure this deal to where they have opt-outs every April, just like Jimmy Garoppolo, because of the injury concerns. And so that's why I think they're not going to marry him for 5 years. This is going to be a year-to-year deal, I believe. I truly believe that. Well, but I could get out of it.
Look, on the other side, we'll get into it, but I just look at all the dead cap for the big money hits. If he gets over $100 million guaranteed, he's got to be the right guy.
We'll see. Baldy coming up at 7:30. We'll get to Robin Sanbruno on the other side about Brock Purdy and play more sound. Who's skeptical about Brock Purdy? I do believe you can win a lot of games with him. On my list of issues, I don't think he's in my top five right now. Now, he is the quarterback, and I know it's sacrilegious to say. He's the quarterback of the team. But I think Brock is going to be fine if you build around him the right way, and I think that's important. That segment was sponsored. Next segment as well is sponsored by the San Francisco International Airport.
This is stupid. It's just dumb football.
What's going on, Roasters? It's Brian Baldinger with the NFL Network, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Fonte and Shasky, 95.7 The Game.
Baldy joining us in about 12 minutes. Hopefully he's not hitting splits right now. Hopefully his groins are okay after hitting the splits on the Jason Kelce show. It's pretty good stuff. He'll join us in about 12 minutes. In case you're just waking up, Brian Snyder fired as a San Francisco 49ers special teams coordinator. So where does that leave Nick Sorensen? Where's Nick Sorensen? What's his status? Do you want to see him back? Does he deserve another shot? 888-957-9570 is the number. 888-957-9570 is the number. We know how Brock Purdy feels about his contract negotiations. We'll get to Moody Ward in a second. Here's George Kittle. You want to be a Niner?
I want to be a Niner for my entire career. Love wearing the red and gold. And whatever the front office wants to do, I'm all ears.
What went wrong this season, George?
I haven't reflected too much because we played yesterday. But I will say that pretty sure we had I have no idea what the number is, but it felt like we had 20 turnovers and then didn't get any turnovers. And so when you're turning the ball over that much and you're not scoring in the red zone and you're not getting turnovers, it's hard to win football games. And that just is what it is. Cause I know as an offense, we move the hell out of football all year. I know I feel like besides 2 weeks, we're top five every single week. We move the ball really well, but we couldn't score. We turn the ball over all the time. So it's hard to win football games like that. And you look back and reflect. I can look all my teammates in the face. I put my all out there. And a lot of the guys in the locker room, they put everything they're all out there as well. So, I have no shame in that. And, you can go check the tape, and if you're okay with your resume, which is on the tape, then you should be okay with your season.
That last part was a response to Nick Bosa telling the media that, hey, it was tough for me as a captain to look my teammates in the face after a disappointing season. Kittle basically said, yeah, I can look my guys in the face because the tape don't lie. I play my ass off. So I ain't worried about that.
Well, the offense did generate a lot of yards. They weren't efficient in the red zone. That is, inarguable. The defense was a giant problem with this team. Giant problem. I still believe the offense, you know, even though I have my own questions about a lot of different things, specifically the O-line, and then like second half execution by the quarterback, right? That's going to be something that I flagged. That's all. But the defense gave up the fourth most points in the league. The defense gave up almost 2,200 yards on the ground. Okay? Saquon went for 2K. You gave up 2,200 yards on the ground. They were 25th in generating turnovers, 25th in fumbles, 20th in interceptions. This is a bottom, bottom, bottom defense. And if you look at their blitz rate and when they get home and sacks and all that, like, this is one of the worst defenses in the league. And there's no arguing it.
Baldy highlighted the blitzes, whereas, like, they're just blitzing just to blitz. They're not creative with the blitz. They just blitz and nobody gets home. I'll throw the last couple games on because I do believe Arizona really try to run up the score, get some scrubs. And that's okay. That's okay. Arizona, we got something for that ass next year in the NFC West. Don't you worry. Get your little 47 to feel good about your mediocre season. It's fine. But also,
I didn't realize how much that bothered.
No, it was just like, you're running up the score and everybody's going crazy over the 47 to Niners game. I'm like, okay, all right, whatever. I see what you're doing,
Kyler.
It
was pretty fraudulent 47.
It was a fraudulent 47. Now, you got lit up against Detroit, but they're one of the better offenses in football. So
and
the defense was not good, huh?
And you missed some kicks in that game.
Oh, yeah.
You should have scored 40.
Yeah, you should have. You should have. And you had an egregious interception by Brock Purdy. Rob and Sam Bruno, what's happening?
What's going on? Hey, shout out to the guru. I got to put the rat on the table, man. Hey, we got two problems. The big problem is Kyle. He's not going nowhere, so I'm not even going to talk about him. I think Kyle's scheme has been figured out. It always gets figured out. You know what I mean? Daddy went through the same thing with Denver. That's why he's not coaching no more. Secondly, Purdy, man. You cannot watch Purdy the last four games of the year and tell me you're comfortable with that dude. That dude literally threw away three winnable games that could have kept us in the race. He literally threw away that many games. He had 24 total touchdowns. I give him total that, but he had 16.
Which games did he throw away, Rob, that could have kept us in the playoffs?
Oh, but the Rams won.
The
that
second
was a big
one?
Game.
That was a terrible game.
The second one, the last three games he played, he threw about four interceptions, man, in a late-game situation, man. If Alex Smith did that, y'all be all over him. I just feel like, man, we need some competition behind him. We cannot just say we can't keep coddling him and give him all the free reign.
Who do you want to bring in?
I mean, if you look at the quarterback that's playing right now, that's going to be playing next week, they can do two things, or they can do once. You got to have a big arm. You got Goff can't run, but he got a big arm. He gets the ball downfield accurately. Or you got to be able to run and throw. And then Purdy, he can run, but defenses are not tripping off him running because once they stop that, they can stop him. So you got to have a dual threat at quarterback, or you got to have a big arm. You can't have a noodle arm and be a mid quarterback runner. You just can't do that. And next year to me is a big year. We got the Super Bowl here. We can't have our season dependent on a guy with a messed up elbow and a guy with Achilles tendons and his both Achilles. That's not smart. So my thing is I want Travis Hunter. We need to do everything we do, Travis Hunter. If we can't get that, I want DN. You got to, because I don't think they're gonna change the defense. Because that means next year we're not gonna be content. You gotta. Draft a whole new different type of defense line as an end. So we can get the right end and play the 3-4. We got that. But if not, we got to go get Jensen. We got because Jensen, our offense is about the run game. That's what we're about.
Totally agree on the running back.
Let me ask you this, Rob. If it's not Purdy you feel comfortable with, do you want to see the 49ers go with the new starting quarterback? Should they be in the market for a new quarterback?
It's not even that. It's about when he messes up. Justin Fields would be a perfect combination because he brings something different to the table. The Mac Jones, y'all just said, the Cooper Rush, they don't bring nothing different to the table. It's stock. It's like stock wheels. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I think Kyle's getting figured out playing with these basic quarterbacks, so we need to switch it up and give him somebody with an arm that can make plays with their feet.
Would you bring Trey Lance back?
Come on. Hell yeah. You see how he played last game with no starters.
He does have zip on the ball. Just Rob, thanks for the call. Trey Lance just needs to play. I was
Maria,
watching
the Nina, and the Pinta. That ship is sailing. I mean, come on.
But you know what, though? I was watching Trey. I had them all up. I had Trey up.
You were watching Trey and Jimmy G simultaneously?
No, I didn't watch Jimmy because Jimmy played in the afternoon, and I was getting ready for Warriors or Kings. Oh. Trey played in the morning. Who else was in the morning? It was Dallas and Commanders I had on. I had Bryce Young on. I was like, damn, Bryce Young. Boy, I'm buying stock into him. Because I think we a lot of people wrote him off way too early. And I see why. And now I understand why teams are trying to trade for him at the deadline. And Carolina's like, yeah, we're going to wait on that.
Well, I think that's a great cautionary tale of not going in either direction. Like, wow, you're the right. greatest thing ever. And this is who you are for the remainder of your career, good or bad. You know, like you've got to build up a big body of work. Baker Mayfield's another one. Like, you're only as good as the last season that you had. That's the way the NFL works.
Now I want to know. I want to know from the roasters out there and all the fans out there. 888-957-9570. Because one thing I learned is everybody's got an opinion, and it's okay to have an opinion. How many people are not comfortable with Purdy as they're starting going into 2025? That's what I want to know. Now that Rob and San Bruno's opened that door. How many people are not comfortable with Brock Purdy?
A year ago, you asked that question to me, and I say, man, I'd have a really hard time finding anybody in the league who can upgrade over him. A year later, I'm like, man, I don't know. You know, like, I don't know. Jared Goff just had a monster season, you know, a monster season. I didn't think as highly of him to end last year. Baker Mayfield just had a monster season. I didn't think as highly of him last year. So things can fluctuate a little, you know, like CJ Stroud just had a really down year. And you and I talked about this before the season started, and we were both high on him, but I was like, you know, you got to do it again. He only threw 17 touchdown passes his rookie year, and it's up and down. And so, like, comfort level, I'm comfortable with him being my starter. But beyond that,
are you just comfortable next year? You're not comfortable.
Well, so, like, you'll say things, and I get your point of view. Like, hey, give him a contract. We have a bunch of outs. Well, most of the contract deals for the starter quarterbacks that are in the league are essentially 2 or 3 year deals. They're locked in 2 or 3 year deals. And, like, 2 sounds okay. Yeah, 2. 3 might be pushing it. Like, and that sounds like I'm degrees here. But, dude, the guy missed a shoulder week 12, and he missed because of the elbow week 18. Yep. This is after we kind of looked and, like, the arm just didn't look right. He looked a little indecisive. Doesn't mean I'm done with him. It just means, like, boy, I'd like to have more body of work before I make this giant commitment to him, even if it is on a 2 or 3 year basis. Like, it's just money. Yeah, but you spend the wrong money and you got Daniel Jones, you know? And I'm not saying he's Daniel Jones. He's been better than Daniel Jones.
He's a lot better than
Daniel Jones. I'm just saying, like, comparably, it can sink a franchise.
Daniel Jones can't sink. Would you want Daniel Jones as a backup?
No.
Because he's going to be available. Dave in South City, real quick before we get to Baldy. Dave, what's happening?
Hey, good morning. Great season. Love the Niners, and I watched every single game. My reoccurring thought is 3 things. Injuries, penalties, and takeaways, fumbles and interceptions. I'm hoping they have a team meeting and they say, if you don't have any penalties in the game, we'll give each player a $1,000 bonus. Because with the game the other day, there was like 2 penalties for the Cardinals and like 11 for the Niners. It seems like every game there's like 11 penalties. So can they do something about that perhaps? I don't know. Thank you.
Yeah, it's to me, it's just both sides of the ball too. And special
sides.
Teams.
Both sides.
And they weren't buttoned up all year, and it's the penalties have just been so
I don't know why. I don't feel really good. But I feel like, you know what? They could turn this thing around in the season. They could turn this thing around in the West next season. They need a couple tweaks here and there. Now, they have to make the right moves, right? You can't just make a tweak and think that, hey, we're going to be back.
Is it tweak 8 starters?
The tweak, I don't think you need 8 starters.
Well, you don't think you need 8 starters.
Maybe combined, right? So you have 11-11.
I mean, that's a third of your team.
You may need 8 starters.
Because I'm looking at it. Safety. I'm looking at 3 new defensive linemen. I'm looking at probably 2. Another linebacker, right? Like, that's 6 on that side of the ball. Probably 2 offensive linemen.
Right. That's 8. You could make it happen. You could flip this thing with 8 starters. It's not, you know, in today's NFL, a lot of things shift. The Kansas City Chiefs have shifted left and right. The Baltimore Ravens have shifted left and right. The Buffalo Bills, for crying out loud, look like a Super Bowl favorite. And look how many starters they let go last season. Yeah. So it's not uncommon in today's NFL to flip your starters.
The
you
one
may
thing
need
that
8
all
starters
those organizations have
is
you're
the
right.
quarterback. Quarterback, well, I get it.
Like, upper echelon quarterback.
But there's only 4, I know, in my opinion.
But those are the ones.
Those are 4 quarterbacks who are up the Golden 4. And one of the Golden 4 is not in the playoffs. Three are in the same conference. And one of the three, albeit he's got three Super Bowl rings, he's didn't have the greatest years, but he's a phenomenal player. Let's get to, I want to hear this from Zitz before Baldy. Zitz, what's happening? You're on a Russ. Let me know when we get Baldy. Zitz in SF, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? So I just wanted to call and say I think the honeymoon phase is over with Brock Purdy. You know, everybody loved the streak. He was Mr. Irrelevant. He had a breakout season when he finally got to play. But let's be real, it's been shown the last two seasons, you know, even before his elbow, really, he never really had the big arm. He's great, about 40 yards. He's pretty quick, decisive. You know, he is a bit of a gambler, I feel like. But, you know, I don't know if he's really going to be the quarterback of the future. So, but we don't have to give him a deal next year. Let's not do it. Let's just let him play and see how it goes. And then the other part was, I don't think this is a light restoration. If you compare this to a house, it's pretty deep. You got too many phases of the football team that need to get fixed, special teams being the first one. And then your trenches. Your trenches are terrible. You know, defense, getting ran up the gut 5-6 yards every play. Damn near, you can't stop the run. And then our left side of the line's been pretty banged up, and, you know, you're getting pressure on Brock's blind side. So, I mean, he's forced into making quick decisions, and a lot of times when you're rushed, you're not making the good decisions. You're not making the smart decisions. So I think, you know, you really got to look into positional and role players and really bolstering the foundation of the team before you go out and start getting all the eye candy.
I hear you. So, Zitz, are you comfortable with Purdy as your starter next season?
I mean, if that's all we have to choose from, we don't really have a choice, right? But, I mean, if you could go make a move maybe for Sam Darnold, if it's really the last year and you're really going to try to give it one last go and go all in, why not get Captain Kirk? You know, somebody with an arm who can make that deep throw, because we got guys who can get open over the top. But Brock's throwing the ball and the guys are having to wait for it, so instead of getting six, you're getting a first down, a long first down. You know, I think if you take the top off of a defense, that makes the defense have to open up and spread out a little bit. Then you can come back to the middle third of the field where Brock really strives. But I mean,
I hear you. Good call, Vince. Good call. Let's get to Shark Week, man. It's Shark Week. First time in the new year.
He breaks down plays better than anyone.
I mean, this is like Shark Week now. And you know what Baker Mayfield is? He's chum. Look at these sharks. You think you're getting away from those four angry sharks? It's Shark Week. It's time to eat. Make the read. Urgency. That's the name of the game right here. Urgency. Now, on it. He's on it. Touchdown. Beautiful throw.
He's our 95.7 The Game NFL insider, Brian Baldinger.
And Baldy, baby, he's back. He's back as all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. And on the line, of course, is Odyssey Pro Football Insider Brian Baldinger, NFL Network, at Baldy NFL on Twitter. And hopefully he's not trying to do the splits again like he was Friday night with Jason Kelce and some jeans. Pretty impressive, Baldy. Pretty impressive stuff. Good morning to you. Happy New Year.
Good morning.
And, you know, if you had to sum up the 49ers season in 2024, how would you sum that up, Baldy?
Ugly. An ugly season from the start. I mean, you lose seven of the last eight games or something like that. It was just an ugly finish and a rough start. And so it was a forgettable year. I mean, if you had to, like, sum it up, it's a forgettable year. You can't really just honestly forget it. You can't just say it was an aberration. It was a Super Bowl hangover. That's too easy. You got to painfully look at the weaknesses on the team and address them and go, can we afford to bring back the same team next year, or the remnants, or the structure of the same team next year? Because we just saw three teams passing by this year. You know, one with a new coach, one with a team that you just lost to on Sunday, and you're like, is the Arizona Cardinals roster really better than the 49ers roster? Now, you can say, okay, put Brock, a healthy Brock Purdy in there, and maybe it's different, but still, they beat him twice this year. So you got to really look at this roster and look at the coaching staff and really look at everything and go, all right, is it just the injuries or in the off season that was just mired in holdouts and whatnot? Or is there deeper problems to the team right now?
Well, if you were to like write down a list of the biggest issues on the team right now, where does it start? Is it coaching? Is it personnel? Is it quarterback play? Like, where would you start as the biggest issue on the team right now?
I think they're very predictable on defense. I think the predictability of what they do defensively is easy to game plan for. I mean, Arizona did, all they did was go up and down the field, and most of them were starters out there. So I think predictability on defense is clear to me. But part of that might be they're not very talented on defense either. They don't take the ball away. They don't affect the quarterback. But they don't do anything to do that knowing that they have limitations. So I would say that's it. I think they lack team speed. I mean, you're watching Greg Dortch catch a tunnel screen. And either the guys just weren't – the effort looked questionable to me, all right? I ain't going to call anybody out saying they're quitting or whatever. But the effort was questionable. You know, I mean, if you're sitting in a film room with your team, you're going, this isn't good enough. Like, you're trashing everybody. So that's that. I think team speed is, and, you know, they lack playmakers on defense right now.
Well, can we get to the highest paid player on that defense, Nick Bosa? How do you rate his season?
Well, I mean, he was disappointing. But he does, he doesn't, I mean, he still is a force. He's not Micah Parsons. He's not T.J. Watt right now. He's not getting the ball out of the quarterback's hands. He's not batting balls down. He's not, I don't know. I feel like he's going up against backup tackles on Sunday, and I didn't see him destroy him. Wow. You know, like, that's Nick Bosa. He's supposed to destroy those backup tackles. He's not Paris Johnson out there. You know, I think he still plays the game the right way, but I don't know if he's not as fast twitch as he used to be. It looks like it's just clearly just a pure power game right now. And if it's not working, then he's not getting there.
And in the Y9 ball days, we're talking to Brian Baldinger, guys, we do every Tuesday at 7:30 in the morning. If they're going to stick with the Y9 system, I don't think it benefits Nick Bosa. As you just mentioned, I don't see a speed rusher there. I see a power rusher. And he's lined up so far out wide that it affects him in a run and pass game. You know, when you talk about the predictability in the defense, and we've been discussing this morning, I didn't see nothing from Nick Sorensen either. So if they did move off from him, what if they, and I'm just going to throw a hypothetical. The Niners say, hey, Lou Anarumo from Cincinnati, who just got fired, who I think is a good defensive coordinator. If the Niners decided to go that direction and flip their scheme and move away from the Y9, what would Lou Anarumo bring to the table?
Well, I mean, if you look at, say, go back 3 years ago when Cincinnati beat Kansas City in Kansas City and went to a Super Bowl, and you watch what he did to Patrick Mahomes and how he changed up on second downs and third downs, changed his front, moved people around. Is this a three-man front? Where are they blitzing from? I think he's much more creative than anything I saw in San Francisco over the last couple of years.
Wow.
I think I am a big Lou Anarumo fan. I think he has a very sharp mind. I think I remember talking to him. He lives literally right down the street from me in Fort Lauderdale. He's got a house there. But I remember talking to him this year. I mean, at one point in the Kansas City game that they lost at the end in Kansas City, he had two healthy defensive tackles, like, playing. Two. Like, they were so thin up front. And some of those guys weren't very good players. So, like, he was doing the best he could with what he had. But I think that would be an upgrade. I don't think he's going to be unemployed long. Like, I think there's a team on the East Coast that is going to make a switch pretty soon and reach out to him.
What do you do with Dre Greenlaw? We see when he played the two quarters, and he was outstanding, but he played two quarters this year. You know, and I feel like as great as the defensive line needs to be upgraded, like there's no question, no one argues that. I feel like linebacker is a huge gaping hole for this team as well. What do you do with Greenlaw?
Well, I think anybody that tears their Achilles, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, those are the people we know. I feel like it's more than a year of recovery. I think it takes, you know, I remember when I tore my ACL, and I'm not comparing my injury to Dre's, but they said, you know, one of the things that the recovery team did for me, they said, look, it's not going to feel like the old knee. It's going to be a new knee. It's going to be just as good. It's just going to feel different. And you have to get used to the difference. And I feel like that's the case with Achilles. Like, you can get back on the field in a year and play like Dre did, but you're not going to feel like you did prior to the injury in the Super Bowl. So I feel like you have to give them the off season and just see if things, if the suddenness and the quickness and the speed and all that stuff comes back. So I feel like he needs this off season.
Brian Baldinger, presented by our proud partner, Go to State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. Building better starts with Go to State. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com, and Baldy will be on every Tuesday throughout the playoffs and the Tuesday after the Super Bowl here. Some breaking news in Tennessee. Old friend Rand Carthon, who was the 49ers organization, has been fired by the Titans after 2 years. So he is now unemployed as teams look to reshape their front office, their coaching staffs, or whatnot. As we shift over to the Niners offense, I think some positives. Ricky Pearsall showed some flashes over the last couple weeks. That's a good thing. Jacob Cowie got better. Dominic Pudi, you know you got yourself a right guard. But what is, if you're looking at the Niners offense, Baldy, you're sitting in the room, and you're looking at the offseason coming up, you said, how can I make this offense better? How can I upgrade it? How are you upgrading this offense, Baldy? What was the first thing you're going to do?
Well, there's going to be a free agent guard available for Kansas City, Trey Smith. I mean, I'd go get Trey Smith. Now, you have to pay for him, but I'd figure out a way to get Trey Smith. Just because he's such an enforcer. He's got a howitzer for a right hand. When he punches you, you feel like you can't breathe. Like the guy finishes every block. You just need an alpha male on your offensive line. I feel like they need that. Trey Smith is that guy. So, I mean, that's just a dream. Now, the 49ers can't afford Trey Smith, but he's going to be the highest paid guard in football. The guy's played practically every snap for four straight years in a row. He's I know the kid well. Like, that kid is just wired the right way. But you got to make a decision on Trent. You know, do you want to bring Trent back? I mean, obviously, he's still a great player, but the injuries do get to you. The age does get to you. You know, the offseason was different, so you had to play himself into shape. But you got to, you know, I mean, he is going to be 38 or whatever he's going to be. You have to decide, do we go out and start building with a new left tackle? Other teams do it. So are the 49ers in that? Because I think it always starts up front. Now, you know, to have three good running backs all get hurt, all go down. I mean, you can't figure like that's going to happen. But you have to wonder, is Christian McCaffrey, can he regain what we saw a year ago or the year before? Can he become that guy? Because everybody in that draft from 2017, the only guy that's still going is Aaron Jones. And he's been in and out of the lineup a number of times in Green Bay. But he's the only guy from that draft that's still rolling. He was the fifth-round pick.
If you were sitting down with Brock Purdy and you guys were going over the film from this year, what are the strengths and what are the weaknesses? What are the things that you guys are talking about, like in contrast to maybe the year he had last year?
Well, I think he still reads defenses exceptionally well. I think he knows how to go through progressions, and he's very, very smart about where to go with the ball. Now, the question that is always going to come up, and you can't erase Mr. Irrelevant, because there's a reason why he was Mr. Irrelevant. You know, I'm watching, say, for example, Michael Penix Jr. the other day. And you watch him rifle a football. Like, it's a laser show. Like, Brock can't throw it like that. Now, he can still be very accurate. He can throw it with touch, and all those things are valid. But he's not going to have a Michael Penix arm. So you have to say, okay, can you live with the limitations? Yes, you can, for sure. They did for 3 years. But I do think that there is there's a part of the offense that, and it's easy on Mondays, you're sitting in the film room, when to be patient on a route, and it's going to open up, and when to move to the next. I don't know how to answer the question, Joe. Like, I don't know how to tell a quarterback, boy, if you just – wait an extra tick here. Ayuk's coming open. Kittle's the guy. And so how your eyes go from one step to the next, I think that could be improved. Just, and I don't know how to define that other than that.
What do you make of the second half, fourth quarter struggles for Brock Purdy?
Well, I mean, I think some of those fourth quarter struggles, we got to come back and win. You know, I got to make these plays. And sometimes you try to do too much or you try to put too much emphasis on it, you know. But at the same time, there's got to be urgency.
Yep.
So you have to, it's a balance between being urgent, knowing that you've got to, you know, finish this drive to win the game. You know, the Arizona game, you know, the first Arizona game, there's a chance to go win that game. Yep. That just comes to my mind right now, you know, and there's interception thrown or whatever. So, you know, knowing, you know, and that part of that is being everybody in cahoots, everybody in cahoots from the protection to the route running and the play call and it all coming together like that. Because, you know, some teams, you watch in a two-minute drill, and look, Josh Dobbs had a good one right before the half last week. But there's some teams you go, you know, we could say Mahomes all the time, but there's some guys you know, they get the ball with 59 seconds to go, and they got to go 70 yards. You know they're going. You know they're going to finish it, and, like, the game's going to be over.
Is there anybody the Niners could bring in as a backup that maybe not necessarily replaces Brock Purdy, but maybe pushes him or could be a better backup? Because Brendan Allen, Josh Dobbs are guys, and I think they're going to move on here. Like, we could just rat-a-tat-tat some names. Like, Cooper Russ is going to be a restricted free agent. Justin Fields, what if he leaves Pittsburgh? What do you think about him, Baldy? Guys like that. Is there anybody out there that could really push Brock Purdy and thrive in the Shanahan system?
I don't know. Could Kirk Cousins push him? I mean, I don't know. Like, you know, Shanahan obviously was there when they drafted him in Washington, wanted him in San Francisco. He was awful. If they had made the switch earlier, Atlanta probably wins that division. The way they were playing, they were too patient. And so you say to yourself, is that Achilles? Is that a slump? Can he get back to what he was? I don't know. I don't know, you know, the exact answer to that.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, Justin Fields is intriguing. I don't think he can push him because I don't think he can throw as accurately as Brock, and I don't think he can make the decisions. But he's going to make the splash plays that maybe Brock can't make, whether it's sensational runs or, you know, like you think about, remember that game that they opened up with against Chicago in the rain 3 years ago?
Yep,
and
I
he
do.
Made that throw yep. across the field in the rain.
Like, it's
the only throw he made basically all day, but it was enough to beat the Niners that day. Like, he has that ability, you know, and so that he can wow you, but, you know, wowing you isn't going to win divisions and win playoff games. It's just going to do that to you.
Is Deebo Samuel still a really good football player?
In the right situations, he is. He almost looks like he's more of a running back now than a receiver. Like, he gets ahead of steam going and he hits the hole and you're like, that looks good. That looks special. But, you know, between the drops and the inability to separate, he doesn't look like an elite player from that standpoint. But he is a playmaker. And so whether it's a returner, you know, as a change of pace running back, all the, you know, gadget gimmick plays that you can run on fly sweeps and things like that, there's a place for it. But if you're saying, okay, we're in a 3-by-1 set and here's man coverage, go beat this second corner, I don't know if that's the guy that, you know, can do that.
What happened to his route running, Baldy? Because we didn't really discuss this. It just seems like since the Super Bowl against Kansas City, with Spags said, I'm playing man defense, I'm going to blitz six, let's go. And from that point on, we've kind of hyper-focused on Deebo and the lack of route running. Has it always been like this with Deebo Samuel? What has happened? Like, it's fascinating that all of a sudden he gets one target against Detroit on Monday Night Football. They're going to pierce all the Jennings, and I'm thinking to myself, boy, they're really phasing Deebo out in the pass game. What happened to him?
I don't know. Do you just naturally, over a period of time, slow down?
Yeah.
Do you lose a step? I mean, it's imperceptible sometimes, but can you be, I don't know, too thick, you know, too much like a running back to play receiver. I mean, you got to have some twitch and suddenness to you to be these electric playmakers at receiver. Like, you know, you watch Justin Jefferson or Jamar play, and like, they're just elite, you know, with their body control. You watch Garrett Wilson go up and catch these balls. You watch these receivers that are, I mentioned, they're all younger, but you watch their body control with the ball in the air and the acrobatic moves that they can make. You don't see that from Deebo.
They fired the special teams coordinator. They had the eighth most penalties.
They could have done that week two.
I know.
They could have done that like early this year.
They had multiple fake punts, you know, executed on them. One this last weekend, a zillion missed kicks. Obviously, Jake Moody's an issue, but they're also not kicking the ball into the end zone, right? And so, like, on kickoffs, you know, they're low on that. They don't kick long field goals. You know, their longest this year was a 53-yarder. 31 other guys kick longer kicks than that. Just the special teams unit as a whole. How do you improve that? It's not just the kicker. There's a variety of problems here. And they've spent money on a George Odom who got hurt, but they have specific specialists. How do they fix this thing?
Well, I always think at every position, coaching is the difference. I mean, if you look at, you know, Kansas City's had the same special teams coach now since Andy Reid got there. And that's never an issue. They have the best kicker in Butker. But even when Butker got hurt, you know, they didn't skip a beat. You never see them give up a play in the special teams to get themselves beat. Kicking coaches, special team coaches, are just that. They're special. There's a bunch of them, 32 of them, and they all got assistants. But some of them are better than others. And so coaching matters in how you coach up certain plays and preparation. Everybody is in a special teams meeting. Every single player at some point, whether it's field goal protection, field goal block, you know, whether it's punt safe, every single player is in a special teams meeting. You know, do they get through to everybody? Because sometimes you just... You know, and then some just have this eye. Okay, this is their coverage unit. This is the weakness. This is what we can hit. Let's work on this week. Let's pull this out at this time. You know, some are just better than others right now.
Look, Baldy, you brought up coaching, so we haven't asked about Shanahan. Obviously, a down year for him. Second losing season in the last 6 years. First 2 years, obviously, coming to an expansion team. I'm not going to hold that against him. But if you had to talk to Shanahan and he said, hey, Baldy, you know, how do I reinvent myself? How do I come back sharper? How do I come up with some newness here? How do I become less predictable offensively? What would you tell Shanahan? How could he be better in 2025?
Well, I always think that I don't think there's anything new that's been invented under the sun. I think everything is sort of regurgitated in some ways. But I do think, like, we're going to see two major college football games coming up, you know, this week. And so, like, I remember Steve Spagnuolo was out of football for a year, and he came here every Monday to NFL Films. He never studied, and he knew he was getting back in. Andy Reid, you know, ended up let Bob Sutton go. He brought Spags in to be defensive coordinator. He's the single best defensive coordinator in football. And I remember that year, all he did was study the college game. And he just wanted to see the speed of the game, the formations. A lot of things that the college game is good at that always creeps to the NFL game. That's like the think tank. But I feel like, you know, because if you're in a spread formation every play, like say in the Big 12,
right.
Texas to me is still a Big 12 team. But, you know, if you're in a spread formation every play, like how are you affecting the quarterback? And I feel like those kind of things you can learn. So if I was saying to Kyle, like, don't be afraid to go learn from somebody else. You know, I mean, Nick Saban always did that. I feel like there is another step to this evolution of the game that can be learned, that can be added to your repertoire of your base things. Like, everybody recognizes that it's a good offense, but can it be tweaked to a point where it can be better? Like, Liam Cohen went to Tampa this year. They had the 32nd ranked rushing offense in football 2 years in a row. Mm-hmm. They couldn't get 4 yards of carry to save their life. They're the fourth ranked rushing football team in the league. And if you can say, okay, it's an addition of a new center, definitely. It is Bucky Irving, okay. Yep. But when I watch the run game, it looks different than other teams right now. The way that they add bodies from one side to the other, whether it's a power game, counter Trey, how they fit their tight ends into it. And not that Kyle doesn't do that. He does. But I feel like Liam Cohen has injected something new to Tampa, and it's one of the reasons why they won the division for the fourth year in a row and why now they're a really balanced offense for the first time. I mean, Brady didn't have that when they won a Super Bowl. So I feel like if I was Kyle, you know, I mean, it's not ego. Like, football is about learning. It's about adjusting. It's about adding to your repertoire. That's what I would tell him to do.
Wow. Very good stuff, Baldy. Very good stuff. You calling any playoff games this weekend?
I'm doing the Hula Bowl on Saturday.
Hula Bowl.
Down in Orlando.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right,
I'm going to go find you guys. I'm going to go find you some seventh-round draft picks.
Hey, no.
I'm going to go find you a Dominic Pooney.
No, all no. Right? Baldy, I need more than seven-round picks. I need that first-round pick, number 11 overall. I need some big boys, man. I need a second. I need these two-thirds. I need everybody, Baldy. We need D linemen. We need offensive linemen. We need speed, for crying out loud, out here in San Francisco.
Real quick, to that point, Bonte, I know Minnesota didn't play well the other night, but the defense played well.
Yep.
They got two interceptions.
Yep. Almost
they
had a pick six.
Last place.
Yeah, Van Ginkle.
Almost had a pick six.
Almost had a pick six. And that was going to be third.
Yeah.
For him. But let me just say this. Like, what Brian Flores is doing on defense is what, honestly, is what, like, the great coaches have done on offense, the West Coast offense, all these different, like what Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan are doing. Like, this, what he's doing on defense, first of all, their entire defensive line is brand new. Jonathan Grenard, Dallas Turner, Andrew Van Ginkle, like Pat Jones. They brought in seven new defensive linemen, and they brought in a brand new scheme. Like, that scheme, if I was Kyle Shanahan, you ask me, I would go study Brian Flores.
Ooh, I like that.
That scheme is going to take over the NFL. It is. You're going to put up seven on the defensive line. Who's coming? Who's dropping? What zones are you taking away? How are you getting a free hitter to the quarterback? That's the new wave.
Nah.
And it was a problem for Detroit the other day. It's going to be a problem for the Rams. It's a problem. But to Brian's credit, he has evolved this thing. And now he's got the right. And that, to me, when I say San Francisco is predictable, I compare it to what Flores is doing in Minnesota.
That's a good point. I next week, I want to ask you about the college game, because I seen Ohio State do a little bit of that in the Rose Bowl. Oregon had no idea what was coming. And
well, you take a guy like Wink Martindale at Michigan and beat Ohio State with them, right? I mean, that's Wink.
Does Wink want to come back to the NFL? Does Wink want to come back to the NFL at all?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he wants to come back.
Damn.
They should make the phone call. That guy, the Giants are, I don't know how they kept what they kept. They were second in the league last year in takeaways. they executed half that amount this year. Like, if you ask me, would you rather lead the league in takeaways or defense? I'd like to lead the league in takeaways.
Wow. Well said, Baldy. Well said. We could continue this conversation for another 30 minutes, but we got to run, man. Have fun at the Hula Bowl. We'll talk next week. Enjoy the playoffs, Baldy.
Okay, guys.
Oh, real quick.
Care,
Baldy. I'm sorry, guys. Predictions this week. Super Bowl prediction. We're not going to hold you to it, but playoffs are coming. We got to get a prediction.
I think Philadelphia, Kansas City.
Not bad at that.
I think Philadelphia goes 4-0 starting on Sunday afternoon.
I kind of agree with you. Baldy, we'll talk next Tuesday.
Right.
Good stuff,
brother.
Good stuff. Sorry, we just blew the break. I'm sorry. Injury report. A lot of things. Wow.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurt.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
No, brought up Wink Martindale. This guy better call in. Brian and Paula Alto. Over to Holidays on Twitter. Bonte, they need to go get Wink Martindale. I was like, yeah, that's not a bad idea. Somebody did the mill roll in the bowl game. Give me Wink. I'll take Wink right now. All right, injury report real quick. It's brief, but you guys already know.
I did have a point.
Jonathan Kuminga suffered a right ankle sprain Saturday night against Memphis. 2:27 left in the first half, and he's going to be re-evaluated in 3 weeks. And this is a massive loss for the Golden State Warriors. Something we'll explain a little later in the program. That was the injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. Lots of questions I have for you, Shasky, after that Baldy interview. I do like the Wink Martindale. Give me Lou Anamuro. Anything. Move off from the wide nine, for crying out loud. What's coming up in the game brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good. We're going to get to Jaime in San Carlos. We're going to get to Richie Rich and Livermore. They want to move off from the D.C., and I want to know why. That's coming up on the